Hi, I am here with Professor Audrey Gajapour, and she is talking to me about the kind of progress that Ghana has achieved on political voice. So, Professor Gajapour, I wanted to ask you, from your perspective, what are the areas in which Ghana has made most progress in terms of political voice?
I think it has to do with the opening up of the media space, particularly broadcast media space, radio, television, because until 1995, it was a state monopoly. And so after 1995, when it started opening up, then it meant that we had many more private or community radio stations in particular, but also television stations. But I think that in our part of the world, radio is more exciting because it's more accessible. We found radio spreading into rural areas and decentralized, because when it was a state monopoly, it was the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation broadcasting to everybody. But now, different people doing different programs. And right from the beginning, one of the program formats that have been very popular has been the phone-in programs, of course. For obvious reasons, it's cheap, but it also makes for exciting programming. This has meant, therefore, that a lot of people can contribute to debate, can voice their opinions on issues. I mean, in recent years, particularly in Accra and Kumasi, people would argue that there's this phenomenon of serial callers where politically organized blocs intervene. And so what is public opinion may be actually organized political opinion. But that only is happening in certain parts of the country, particularly in Accra, for example. But for the most part, though, people who call in are genuine Ghanaians calling in to contribute. Sometimes the program formats are oral testimonies on issues, so that if, for example, you were doing a program on education, you may want to go into the community, get a voice of somebody who hasn't had access to education or has triumphed in some form or exemplify some policy failure in education, and that person's voice is heard, and people get galvanized around those issues. The media also, of course, some of them have done investigative reports that have brought about change. Although we think that they could do much more, we don't have as professional a media as a group as possible. There still is a lot of media outlets that are doing a good job. I think that people sometimes feel that it's more noise than anything substantial, but I really don't think so. I think you're always going to get noise, and why not? We're in a democracy. So there's room for people to make empty noises. But because there is room to make noise, there's also a lot of opportunity to make the right noises that can bring about some form of change, particularly responsiveness from duty bearers. One of the programs that a lot of radio stations have adopted are those programs that question service delivery, you know, that allow people to report failures in service delivery. Then they get people who should be responding to those issues to come and explain why something hasn't been done and what they're going to do about it. And I think that all makes for exciting. Then there's, of course, CSOs, and CSOs have been very good at also picking up issues, but also working with the media in combination to bring traction to the issues. Elections also provide opportunities for people to exercise voice, particularly because we don't have a fixed election period. It does mean that from the time parties begin to have primaries, and sometimes it's 2 years before the actual elections, during periods when people are being registered during elections, until the elections, there's a lot of opportunity for citizens' voice to be heard on how the system is not working or it can be improved or there are disagreements. And also a lot of people, citizens, sometimes put representatives on notice. We're not getting this kind of service and we're going to use our thumb. And so there's a power of the thumb that is exercised in these periods. And I think all of that strengthens citizens' voice.